You know, based upon the actions and the intents of this world, of many of those around us that we interact with day in, day out, it's obvious that mankind resists God. You know, people are both enraged and fighting for their own misguided beliefs, if whatever they might be, or mankind is being lulled to sleep, distracted by the lies and the deceit and all of the beautiful looking things that Satan puts forth before man. But you know, we know this already. Turn with me to Luke 21. We know what these end times are going to be like. Luke 21, starting verse 10. And he said to them, this is Christ speaking, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. We haven't even begun that part, but we have seen, and we do see, wars. People killing each other, running around streets, killing innocent people, day in, day after. You know, we understand then that God is not calling all of mankind right now. Not calling mankind to be part of his first fruits of that first harvest like we are being called. We know that the entirety of mankind will be given a chance to understand this wonderful truth later, but not right now. And it's obvious. You just look at everything around us. And it does not have God with it. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 1 who God is calling right now. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Brethren, God is working with you and me. We are the foolish, we are the weak, we are the things that don't make sense to all of the intellectuals. God doesn't make sense to this world. He doesn't make sense to those who deny he exists. Of course not. You know, we know God is working with us. We know that he is part of our lives when we encounter trials, which all of us do. And those trials should be making us stronger. They should be bringing us closer to having a true mindset of God. But when we fail to grow and to overcome sin throughout those trials, we and those that are the first fruits that God is working with today are in jeopardy of no longer being useful to God. And that attitude will lead all of us that have had our eyes opened today. It will lead all of us into committing the unpardonable sin. If we prove to God at this stage, having had our minds and our eyes open, that we aren't useful to him, then we will suffer eternal death. You know, the fact that we encounter trials that lead us towards a godly way of life show that God has a vested interest in us, and we know that he will stick with those things and those people that he has vested interests with. He's not going to walk away from us. He's not going to depart. Or he's not going to quit trying unless it's us that quits. Unless we depart from him and walk away from him. God's not going to give up on us. It's us giving up on God that can lead us to that unpardonable sin. And that way of thinking that separates us, that steers us from understanding and being part of God's family. You know, when Saul was torturing and murdering the followers of Christ, he began walking down a path. It was unfathomable to him at that point in time when he was doing all those things, when he was giving his yes, go ahead, kill those people. He never could have thought of what his path was leading him directly towards, but it was leading him to what he was persecuting. Acts 26 Acts 26 and starting in verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Paul speaking. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to the foreign cities. That's Saul's life as the persecutor. But it was at that point that he was walking down a path that was leading him to Christ. And if we continue, Acts 26, starting in verse 12, "And while thus occupied, while doing all these things, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest to do more of what he was doing. At midday, O king, along the road I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I have yet to reveal to you.'" So Christ knew everything he had done to this point was going to be part of this reason. That was the reason Christ was calling him. "I would deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And that is the difference. It's between light and darkness that this world lives in. You know, Christ used an interesting figurative part of speech there, or a reference, when he was talking to Saul and said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, of that time, of the agricultural people of that time, they would probably have understood that a lot more than today. One commentator explains this meaning. Goads were typically made from a slender pieces of timber, blunt on one end and pointed on the other. Farmers used the pointed end to urge a stubborn ox into motion. Occasionally, the beast would kick at the goad. The more the ox kicked, the more likely the goad would stab into the flesh of its leg, causing greater pain. So that's what Saul, at that point, before he became Paul, or was named Paul, that's what Saul was doing. He was kicking against what the path that he was being led towards. And then that kicking, that hurting, was killing what became his fellow Christians, his fellow brothers and sisters, or putting them in prison, torturing them. What we can infer then from Christ's statement, as I was saying before, is that he had been working with Saul a long time before that meeting on the road. He had been leading Saul before that down that road, figuratively and probably quite literally, so that he could use him. And the more Saul fought against that trial, the harder it would be for him. And we know Saul at that point was temporarily blinded because of that encounter. And he also lived with a physical impediment throughout his life, one that God would not, even though he asked, one that God would not remove from him, to keep him humble, to keep him from gloating. Well, Saul, as I said, obviously kicked at those goads while he was being led to repentance, but utterly changed, utterly stood up and said, as soon as he had heard those words from Christ, he didn't second guess. He knew he changed because of those trials, because of what he had gone through. So do we have that attitude? When we are kicking against God, when we are not taking in the lessons that we should be learning from the trials that we're given, do we keep pushing back, or do we stand up, turn around, change, and walk towards God? Learn from what God is trying to teach us, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring us along, not discourage us, but to build us up. Brethren, recognizing the purpose and intent of God giving us trials, leads us to overcoming our sins. It leads us into a state of mind that makes our path towards eternal salvation easier. You know, the book of Revelation has a theme directed towards the people of God. It's one we should all have to. It's necessary for us to all take heed. And I'll pick one of those instances out. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The person who overcomes these trials that we're given, who doesn't kick against the goads, who doesn't push back from God, is the person who will inherit eternal life. And brethren, this is central to our calling. That action of overcoming, is necessary if we have any hope of becoming part of God's family and part of His eternal plan.